The ball sitting at the 2. End around. John Brown is going to look to pass. Looking for Allen, and he's got it. Touchdown Bills on a trick play to start things off. Cousins throws. Pass is caught for the win. Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings are moving on. Watson pressure off the edge. Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones.
Come the Eagles. And Wilson's going to go deep downfield, and you've got an open man in Metcalf to the 50-yard line. And that, in all likelihood, will write a finish.
And you could be the one to dethrone the dynasty to end it.
The two of them together. Yes. I mean, we'll never see this run again, Jim.
Brady's pass
is intercepted and returned for a touchdown by Logan Ryan, the former Patriots.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, a little West Coast vibes for a West Coast show. What's up, Las Vegas? Happy Monday. Welcome in here to the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. I'm your host, Ryan McKinnell. Got Chris Magnum Chapman across the way working those ones and twos. And we got a lot to get to today. That was one of the more enjoyable wildcard weekends that I can remember in quite some time. Obviously, plenty of stories to come from the weekend, whether it be Josh Allen doing things that no one can understand or Deshaun Watson doing things that no one can understand. A lot of people were doing things people don't understand, Chris.
Or if you're a hater of officiating, a good weekend to once again rail against the horrific officiating in the NFL, where you can say it maybe cost two teams games.
Yeah, I would think that's fair. I would think that's fair. And he got Kirk Cousins making good on his $90 million contract. One good throw for $90 million. That's how it works, right?
Yeah,
I think dime, so. One dime, $90 million. One dime, $90 million. Well, you speak about poor officiating, Magnum. And I know where you're going with this. It was ample throughout the weekend. It's kind of been the story of the year. Not something I think we're going to particularly focus on until right now. This will probably be the only time I talk about officiating, and it will be in context of the man that I just mentioned, Kirk Cousins. Now, what they did yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings, all due credit, it was a great win, right? It was well executed. It was well planned. It was a good game, and Kirk Cousins played a good game. Now, of course, anyone who listens to the Mac Attack, you know I am not a Kirk Cousins believer. I am still not a Kirk Cousins believer. I'm sorry, one good pass and one good game does not make up for 7 years of mediocrity. And I understand that a lot of that came in Washington. That is not Kirk Cousins' fault. He still might end up being a good quarterback. Is he one now, though? Because that's what I got bombarded from our pal Cofield yesterday, and from others. Oh, is it time, Big Mac, for you to finally admit you're wrong? Why would I do that? Seriously, why would I do that? Why would I admit that I was wrong when we haven't seen anything from Kirk Cousins? On the contrary, it was one good game. And it wasn't particularly... He didn't go for 420. He didn't throw up 5 touchdowns. It wasn't an ass-kicking. He almost lost. He needed to take it to the final play of the game. He needed an offensive pass interference, no call, from Kyle Rudolph. Was that not offensive pass interference?
I mean, by the rule, yeah.
He took his hand,
and
he put
shoved.
It in the face of the defender. And also, Kyle Rudolph doesn't need it. I mean, Kyle Rudolph is a big-ass dude.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying. Now, I'm really not faulting the officials for not calling it. It's the end of the game. You got to make a judgment call.
It's never called there.
Right. It's certainly not the Saints in Dallas from the NFC Championship.
No, it's not. It's not like last year for New Orleans, the way they lost that game.
Right.
But I do find it funny. Our friend Mike Pritchard, who played wide receiver in the NFL, was questioning on Twitter why it wasn't reviewed.
Yeah. Now, I said Dallas. Obviously, I meant the Rams. Rams and Saints last year. And we will get to Dallas. Obviously, some news coming out of Dallas. I got a new coach, finally. But, no, it wasn't egregious. But the fact remains is it was one really good pass in a game of kind of average quarterback play.
Well, the reality of it is if Sean Payton doesn't piss all over himself managing the clock there in the last 3 or 4 minutes of that game.
And has that not been?
Kirk Cousins probably doesn't even have an opportunity to make that pass that you keep referring to as the one pass that made him $90 million.
And it was. And listen, it was a great pass to Adam Thielen. Now, let's remember.
Now factor in, though, Marshawn Lattimore, their
he was out.
Best defensive back, was out because he got, looked like a concussion on the previous play.
Point being, Kirk Cousins needed a few things to go his way in order for him to come away and walk away victorious, on Sunday. There was the push-off.
Mm-hmm.
There was Lattimore being out. Fair point, right? And then there was also the ridiculous overtime rules that if someone goes out and scores a touchdown first, the game is over. Drew Brees didn't have time to match. Bottom line, Drew Brees didn't have time to match. Now, that is the rules. I'm not coming in here and saying it wasn't a win. By definition, it was a win, and it was a great win for the Minnesota Vikings and their fans and for Kirk Cousins. But it was one win. This was a team last year who didn't make the playoffs, who underperformed at a huge, and I understand Dalvin Cook wasn't what he was. We could do revisionist history all day. But what isn't revisionist history, and I got bombarded yesterday on social media. Admit you're wrong. Admit that he's a good, great quarterback. One fan said, this is a response to Cofield, Kirk Cousins hasn't had a bad game all year. He just keeps proving people wrong. And Cofield says, yeah, I know. And Big Mac's been railing on it for 6 weeks. Yeah. Do you not remember about week 3 or 4?
Chicago?
When the Minnesota Vikings played the Chicago Bears, and mind you, a Chicago Bears team led by Chase Daniel.
Yeah, backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback.
Which actually may have been a better thing.
We can debate that. You know what? Let me go after the Minnesota Vikings and not focus on a team that wasn't even in the playoffs in the abysmal Chicago Bears. But they were the abysmal Chicago Bears. Now, they weren't that bad to begin the season. The blueprint on them wasn't written. Momentum was actually trending in a positive direction for the Bears. So it was a different time. I understand that. But let's fast forward. Let's fast forward to the end of the season. Kirk Cousins, 3,600 yards. 16th in the league. 16th in the league.
Average.
26 touchdowns. 8th in the league. Top 10.
Okay.
Top 10. QBR, 58.7, 13th in the league. That is not, all right, the markings of a great quarterback. What it felt like yesterday, and I'm telling you what it is, are the Minnesota Vikings escaped on the road, and it was a good, hard-fought win. They're also probably going to get absolutely throttled by the San Francisco 49ers this weekend up in Santa Clara. Now, I'm not saying throttled by 28 points or anything like that. I think it's going to be a double-digit loss.
Well, Kirk Cousins will probably be shut down.
You'd think.
I mean, the reality is, at least the way I look at it, Kirk Cousins played his best game, I guess you could say. He finally got his marquee win. One game too late for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a typical Kirk Cousins game.
But
it was 240 yards, a touchdown, good enough, almost six, I don't know, what was
well,
he, 19
well,
to 31.
Here you go. I mean, he had 240 yards, but how many did he have on the completion of Thielen?
Yeah.
It was like, what, 45 yards?
Yeah.
So he's under 200 yards if the game doesn't go into overtime.
That's a great point. And again, the overtime rules, Drew Brees doesn't get time to match. And again,
yeah, but I mean,
that's not a knock on the Vikings. It is what it is.
I'll be honest. I did not feel watching that game yesterday that the Saints were better than the Vikings. I felt from early on,
I agree,
it looked like Minnesota was the better team, and they deserved to win.
Yep, I agree.
And the unfortunate thing is, I didn't think Brees played particularly great.
He mentioned the clock management from
the
Peyton.
Clock management. Yeah. Two turnovers from the Saints, very uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
That you could clearly see on the fumble where Brees' thumb was taped up, that may or may not have had an issue, something to do, because he probably should not have fumbled that ball.
No, he shouldn't have. And you know what?
And the Vikings, they kind of shut down the run game.
They absolutely did. And Michael Thomas wasn't a particularly large factor.
He was
factor.
Basically a non-factor.
Yeah. And you know what? That is a great point. It was a really good win for the Vikings. And as we tip a cap to the Vikings, and who knows? Hey, Kirk Cousins might go win a Super Bowl. I'm still going to anoint him some god.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Mark Rippon won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Mark Rippon actually won Super Bowl MVP. So,
so did Flacco.
So did Flacco. It's a great point.
But to me, Kirk Cousins is a lot like Joe Flacco.
He is. And you know what? If the Vikings go out and they win the Super Bowl this year or next year as a part of that three-year, $84 million deal, right, then it's all worth it. Now, I'm not going to go out and say absolutely. Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback, But I will say the decision that the Vikings made was a good one because it resulted in a championship, right? But until that happens, $30 million for a guy who sits at the middle of the league with every offensive statistical category and doesn't ever come out and win you a big game. He doesn't. This was the first time in his career, Kirk Cousins' career, where Kirk Cousins came out and had a game where he, and where it felt like, and this is just gut, right, where it felt like he won them the game. This is the first time. I go back to that Chicago game earlier in the season, at the end of September. At that time, now things have changed, and not particularly a lot, but I'll just say this. Around the time of that Chicago game, Kirk Cousins was 5-27 as a starter in games against teams with a winning record. I want to say that again. 5-27. 5-27 as a starter against teams with a winning record. Now, that has changed, but it hasn't changed that much. Let's just look at the teams that Kirk Cousins beat this year. The Chargers, the Lions, the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Lions again, the Eagles, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Falcons. Every single one of those teams that I just mentioned are not particularly good football teams. And those were the only teams that Kirk Cousins beat this year. The teams that he lost to: Green Bay, Chicago, Kansas City, Seattle, Green Bay.
Those are some pretty good. Well, one of them is not particularly great, but the other four are good.
Right. You beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and you lose to the teams that are better than you. That is not, and again, a middle-of-the-road quarterback who is not blowing anyone's doors off and who has statistically, historically, not been that great. I am not going to say one good game negates 7 years of mediocrity. How could I do that? Here's the other thing. How could anyone do that? And I wasn't railing on Kirk Cousins this year. It wasn't so much that I was railing on Kirk Cousins. I was railing on the contract that Minnesota gave him, right? And the unfair expectations that put on Kirk Cousins. Very similar to Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. It's not Mitch Trubisky's fault that Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes got taken after him. I say this all the time. It's not his fault, but the optics will follow him forever. The $30 million contract is going to follow Kirk Cousins, and that's a part of it. My whole thing has been, I don't want to pay Kirk Cousins $30 million. If I have the choice between Mitch Trubisky and 11 or 12 or whatever he's making right now, or Kirk Cousins and 30, I'm taking Trubisky because I can spend that other $20 million on something else. Because at the end of the day, average is mediocre is mediocre. Maybe Kirk Cousins proves me wrong. I don't know.
Well, you know, the ultimate shutdown, I think, to that is Mark Sanchez won four road playoff games. He was the first quarterback in NFL history to win his first four road playoff games. He went into Foxborough and outplayed Tom Brady. He outplayed Peyton Manning in an AFC title game. He outplayed Ben Roethlisberger in an AFC title game. Now, the team let him down. But Mark Sanchez has more big wins than Kirk Cousins in his career, and nobody.
Well, now I don't know what side you're arguing.
Would ever say
that. I'm saying on the flip side of that is Cousins hasn't won any of those games. Yeah, but he's clearly a much better quarterback.
But my point is, you can't say he's a great quarterback. He's now great because he won one game.
Right.
No.
And it was a nice win. And we haven't even mentioned on the road in New Orleans. And we spent all last week talking about
how tough it was to play in New Orleans. Yep. No. And you know what? Dalvin Cook had a good game. The Vikings defense played well.
Yep.
It was a good team win. And I think what you could say is Kirk Cousins did not do anything to lose.
Bingo.
The game for the Vikings.
And you know what? If he goes into San Francisco, which I would say New Orleans is a more difficult place to play. It's indoors. You got the pedigree of Drew Brees. I mean, I go on and on.
But I think San Francisco's a better team than New Orleans.
I do too. But I'm saying the tougher place to play, I feel like, is New Orleans.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is if Minnesota can go into San Francisco, Santa Clara, right, and do what they did against the Saints, not make any mistakes, let Dalvin Cook be Dalvin Cook to the best of his ability against Nick Bosa and what that team is going to be. Obviously, San Francisco defense is pretty damn good. Then the Vikings got a shot. Just, I'm not a believer. Now you go in there, you win twice on the road against the Saints in San Francisco, I'm going to have a much different tune on Monday. Circle back in 7 days. All right, speaking of circling back in 7 days, I wonder what the landscape of the New England Patriots is going to look like come next Monday. I don't know if anything's going to move that quickly. But things are changing in New England, Magnum. I don't think there's any doubt about what's happening. Something that happened, or a lot of us thought was going to happen, actually came to fruition, and that was Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans going out and taking out Brady. Now, this is something we talked about on Friday. You know I was high on the Titans. Derrick Henry is a force of nature. He is doing things that very few in this league this year are doing, which is just being bruising and clock management and kind of making an old school sort of feel to football. And Ryan Tannehill has been nothing short of spectacular. And I think that's pretty clear if you've been watching the Titans these last 8 or 9 weeks. They are a very, very, very good football team. Flip side of that is the 12-4 New England Patriots are a very, very, very good football team too. The problem is they're very, very good because of one man, and that's Tom Brady and his leadership. He has been able to finagle them, will them to a 12-4 record, essentially surrounded by, I mean, the kids club. I mean, he doesn't really have anyone that you can really point to that says, you know what, that's a guy that can win you a football game. Okay, maybe Edelman.
Julian Edelman, right, I think.
All right, fine, Edelman. But Edelman, I always felt like, was successful because he was a second option or a third option in some cases.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't have the marquee running game that a lot of good teams do.
Their line is not what it used to be.
It's suspect. But, but you know, the funniest thing was all season, all we, you know, especially early on, this is the greatest defense we've ever seen, the way Belichick has been able.
Right.
Yeah, because they hadn't played anybody. They played the Dolphins, the Jets, and a couple of other garbage teams.
Yep.
So, yeah, if your defense is sort of good, you're going to look good against David Fales.
And you're going to go to a 12-4 record, which they were at.
Well, they benefit by playing in a weak division with no real good quarterbacks. I mean, some of them may get there, but no quarterback in that division is shaking teams in their boots.
It does feel weird, though, not having Brady in the second
round. That's great. I love it.
Well, you were so adamant about this. I think you felt like I did that the Titans had a really good chance to win this game.
I did. I felt like they would pound the ball, and they did.
It went just about how I think a lot of us felt. Shout out to those people that got plus 190. Feeling good. Now, you didn't want to bet. You knew I was betting.
No.
But you are such a Jets fan. You are such an AFC East mark. Tom Brady for three. The 2000s, the 2010s, and now the 2020s.
Well, he
hasn't really done anything in the 2020s.
He hasn't won a game in the 2020s.
So you're right. There's a fun fact for you. Tom Brady, winless in the new decade.
Good.
Yeah, right?
Let's hope it stays that way.
Well, you were very gun-shy about saying anything about this game.
Because had they won.
Right, and also betting it. You were like, I'm not jinxing
had
this.
They won, it would have been my fault.
Right, well, we appreciate it.
And only
it.
My fault.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Moneyline appreciates it. All the Titans bettors out there appreciate it. All
Mark Seidel, the Titans fan, appreciates it.
Yep. All that money out there, Magda, we are so thankful that you laid off.
Yes.
You selfless, selfless man.
I took one for the team.
So now, feels like Tom Brady's been taking one for the team for a while.
You know what was great about that? The way Jim Nantz sounded like he was crying at the end of that game, realizing that the man who he loves and worships, who he shouldn't, by the way, right? Got to be impartial, except if you're Jim Nantz, then you can gush and be like a teeny bopper chasing new kids on the block around when Tom Brady's on the field. But listening to Jim Nantz sound like he was going to cry at the end of that game when he realized it was over.
This is like when Cartman fed Scott Tenorman's parents to him, and then he licked his tears. Oh, let me taste your tears, Scott. It's the vibe I'm getting from you right now. Like if you could lick Jim Nantz's tears right now.
Oh, it was. You know what?
So salty, Jim.
So salty, Jim.
Brady's pass is intercepted, and the Titans are going to score. It was an authoritative ending to what is most likely, potentially, I don't know the word you want to use, the end of Tom Brady's tenure in New England. Now that is the talk of the day.
Well, the other thing that has kind of been overlooked, the NFL is going to rule on their punishment for the Patriots in the next 2 weeks for their shenanigans in Cleveland.
Cincinnati, Cleveland.
In Cleveland, where they're videotaping the Bengals coaches on the sidelines, hand signals and all that. But, listen, friend, you've already got yourself into a little bit of trouble. So the NFL's going to rule on that in 2 weeks.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. What the effect of that, because if they...
Yeah, if they lose draft picks.
Right.
Oh, it'd be great if they lose like 2 first-round picks over the next 2 years.
Well, I think that would solidify Brady's decision. And you know what? Brady's decision might already be made. I don't know. We don't know.
No, I feel like he is such a competitor that he will want to come back. And I don't see him wanting to play anywhere
else.
Well,
hold on. Tom Brady is coming back.
Yes.
I don't think there is a question on anyone's mind that would suggest otherwise. Tom Brady is coming back. The question now remains, where does he come back? And I don't know, man. Listen, he structured this deal to where he could have an out.
Yeah.
Right? He wanted this.
Well, he was smart.
So, well, that kind of makes me feel maybe he knew that the cheating was going to catch up to him and then they weren't going to be able to build
it. Could be
future.
It too.
But no, he knew on some level the writing was on the wall. They tried to push him out with Garoppolo, right? That was but his relationship with Robert Kraft trumped Bill Belichick's relationship with Robert Kraft. And only one of those men got what they wanted, and it was Tom Brady shipping Jimmy Garoppolo off to San Francisco.
Yeah. And remember there were the rumors when that happened that there was some tension between Brady and Belichick because of that.
Well, of course there was. Belichick wanted to plan for the future, and the psychotic Tom Brady thought he was going to play till he was 50.
They tried to downplay it, right. You know, and no, and they still won a Super Bowl.
I was just going to say, they won a Super Bowl.
But so now you kind of feel like, and me as a Jet fan, I hope that Jared Stidham is not the next Tom Brady. I have a feeling he is not.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
But you know, the reality is Bill Belichick won 11 games with Matt Castle as his quarterback. I don't know if Matt Castle won 11 games at any point in his career after that. He won 11 in one season with Belichick.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he had Randy Moss on his team, so that helps.
Yeah, I would say a really good team around him. But no, you're right.
But I don't know if Brady will want to play anywhere else. I can't see him, unless he's so vindictive, and maybe he is. I mean, he's very petty when he used to talk about Rex Ryan and the Jets.
You don't get to the level that Tom Brady is at by not being petty. It's just like the Michael Jordan effect, right? When Michael Jordan got inducted,
Oh, God, taking shots at his high school coach.
He brought the guy who was cut or who got the spot on his – remember that famous the JV team?
When he went, yeah.
When he got cut, Michael Jordan got cut from his junior varsity team in high school. The man who took his spot – Michael Jordan brought that man to his induction into the Hall of Fame. That is a whole other level of petty, but that's the type of psychosis that you have to wake up every day and put your body through hell and to go through the playoff grind specifically that Jordan did, because there was a 10-year period there where that dude, I mean, yes, he took the break off for baseball, but I mean, from 86 to essentially 99, his seasons went all the way into the summer, and then it was a quick turnaround for the start of the season in October.
And I think he played in the Olympics in one of those years, too.
I think two 92 Olympics? And 96.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, but, point being, that psychotic pettiness that keeps you going through that, the same type of psychotic pettiness that leads Tom Brady to being quarterback when he's essentially, you know, one step away from a walker. We've never seen anything like this, and it's going to continue next year. The question is, where does it continue? There's obviously a lot of names being thrown out there. One that I think is highly intriguing just because of the rivalry from the 2000s. And, well, essentially these two guys ran side by side. I'm talking about Phillip Rivers and the Chargers and Tom Brady. I say it from this standpoint. The Chargers are undoubtedly going to be looking for a quarterback.
Yes.
Come the draft. But Tom Brady, whether you think he's coming back next year or whether you don't, it doesn't really matter. You have to acknowledge that we are entering the twilight, finally, the end of Tom Brady's career.
Yeah, it's coming to a – thank God.
So Tom Brady, we would agree, is not a – he is not a hand – I'm trying to make a new word – hander-offer.
He's not going to hand the ball off.
He's not. He's not going to hand the spot off. He's not going to hand the ball off. He's not going to help you build for the future. That's what history would tell us. We saw it with Jimmy G. Brett Favre was the same way. Other quarterbacks are the same way. Again, pettiness. You get to that level by being psychotically competitive and never thinking about for a second being done or trying to groom someone else for your position. I would like to think that where Brady finds himself now, maybe he would be more open to that in a situation like Los Angeles with the Chargers, who I honestly think if Brady went there next year, he would have a really good shot to win. That Chargers team is a good team. They have
it was
good
just Phillip Rivers was really, really bad this year.
And he was inaccurate and emotional. And listen, I think is an interesting standpoint from the fact that they could draft and build for the future. And you could have a conversation with Tom and be like, listen, Tom, it's your team. We're not going to put anyone in. We're not going to put a backup in. But this is a one-year thing. I don't know what Tom Brady wants, right? But I think that would offer a really interesting option for Tom Brady from the standpoint that it's a team that I feel like is relatively tailor-made right now to win some games. They got a good defense. They got some offensive weapons. I still somewhat believe in Melvin Gordon, right? I think there's I wouldn't know if he would be with the team, but beside the point.
They have the sixth overall pick.
Right.
So
they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just where does Burrow ain't falling to six.
No, but they
do
could
you want
get,
to reach on Tua?
Maybe. Or well, Chase Daniel.
Or Chase. Well, but,
not Chase Daniel.
Chase Young.
Chase Young.
Chase Young ain't
not a quarterback.
There.
No.
Yeah, and Chase Young ain't going to be there.
No, but who's the quarterback I'm thinking of who just declared? It wasn't Tua. Oh,
Herbert.
Herbert, yeah.
Yeah, you could go Herbert.
Who didn't just declare? He's a senior. But yeah, right. Herbert could declare.
Yep.
And or could fall to six. I mean, it's really the problem is I don't see Tom Brady as a I'm gonna groom this guy. He's got a little bit of the Brett Favre in him.
No, it's 100% there. But the idea would be Magnum that this is a different Tom Brady, that he has been humbled, that he is finally realizing, hey, we are entering the twilight of my career, and you know what I mean, I want to win a Super Bowl, but I want to go to a place that wants me, and for that to happen, for them to want me, I have to be willing on some level to play ball with the future.
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly.
I think, I mean, there was always the Brett Favre where he went to the Jets and he was selfish. And the Jets were really good, though.
Yeah.
And I think if Brett Favre doesn't get hurt that year, they have a pretty good chance at making a run, at least towards the AFC title game. But yeah. The question is, will Tom Brady be Joe Montana when he leaves the organization he led to greatness? You know, Joe Montana went to Kansas City. Everybody talks about what a failure it was, but
no,
they went to an AFC title game.
To an AFC championship.
You know, and unfortunately for them, they just ran into a really, really good Buffalo Bills team.
Joe Montana was balling in Kansas City. Now, he also played in a different era where injuries aren't what they were in his bot. Anyway.
But then there's other guys who've left their storied franchise or the franchise that they've led to greatness.
Joe Namath, Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, well, Joe Namath at the Rams is awful. I mean, nobody wants to remember he played for the Rams, but I mean, someone else, Warren Moon, bounced around a little
Jerry
bit.
Jerry Rice with the Seahawks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's the list goes on.
People forget that he played for the Seahawks.
No, I know. There's a list. The list goes on, right? The list goes on. Very, very, very few Calvin Johnsons. Very, very, very few.
Barry Sanders.
I'll say Barry Sanders.
Poor Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to say poor Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
They retired because Detroit was such a dumpster fire that they had to leave. And they didn't. There's probably two poor examples. I'm sorry, Detroit. I'm not trying to lay on
you. We're not piling on you, Detroit. Yeah, but you know, facts are facts.
That's true. Facts are facts. Facts are facts. So where do you think he ends up? I think, you know, there is a swath, a contingent of fans out there, especially in this valley, that think Oakland is a possibility.
I don't
soon
think
to
so.
Be Las Vegas.
Although the John Gruden factor could play a role.
Right. Let's think about this. You say it's not possible. First of all, they save a lot of money if they cut Derek Carr. I think they get out of the deal with like $5 million. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I know they save a lot of money rather than if they brought him back, which I think it's closer to 20. Point being, there's no difference. There's no drop-off with Derek Carr and Tom Brady. In fact, it's an upgrade. I don't think there's any.
Yeah, I think everybody would
right.
agree that you're taking right. Tom. Even David Carr's parents or Derek Carr's parents agree right. that they're taking Tom Brady over Derek.
Now, I also think that the Raiders are similar to the Chargers where they're taking a quarterback. But
yeah.
If you can get Tom Brady to be on the same page, we're going to give you 1 year as the unquestioned starter. Year two, you're going to have to fight for your job because year one, we are drafting a rookie. Right. And he is going to be Tom, you're 43 years old. You're not going to be the quarterback till you're 50. Right. We agree on that, Tom. I'm talking. You're going to play Tom's role right
okay,
now. Like,
right.
We agree with that, Tom.
Yes.
Tom,
yes, we do.
Tom agrees with that. OK, good.
Giselle steps in and says, right. yes, right. you're not playing right. till you're 50.
Right. So by that logic, you save some money. You cut Carr. You bring in Tom Brady. There's the Gruden effect. There's the history of New England and the Raiders. I mean, that's very interesting. I think John Gruden makes football fun. I think it would be invigorating and a complete polar opposite from Bill Belichick. It would be a wonderful way to stick it to Bill Belichick. It would be
circle.
It would be a way to fly under the radar in terms of the biggest story about the Raiders is they're launching in Vegas. Now, if Tom Brady lands with the Raiders, that's going to be
bigger than them moving to Vegas.
It might be, but it would be a nice mask to kind of tie the whole bow together and make just anarchy sometimes works. Chaos sometimes works when there's enough of it and it blinds everything else that's going on with your franchise. And right now there's a lot of chaos going on with the Raiders.
Yeah, now the interesting thing, and if I'm I guess I could call them Vegas, right? If I'm the Raiders, if in your scenario they're able to sign Tom Brady, I'm not drafting a quarterback in the first round. I am getting the best weapon I could find in the first round, a wide receiver.
Yeah,
who will open up the field for you, and maybe taking that quarterback in the second round.
I see what you're saying, and almost every other year. In almost every other year, I'd agree with you. But this is a different draft class. Specifically, Tua Tagovailoa, who announced today that he will be entering the NFL draft, is a wild card. He used to be your number one pick. The fact that he had that injury, he's now dropping.
Yeah.
If you have a spot in the draft where he might be dropping to, you have to kind of throw out what you would normally do. Because you might have a generational talent sitting there to be plucked. You also, if your idea is to not take a quarterback in the first round, I think it's a huge mistake if you need one, because this is a good year for quarterbacks.
Well, I think the following year is going to be a pretty good year for quarterbacks as well.
It will be. And you're right.
So there's multiple. I mean, it's a lot of fun to think the scenarios that could play out.
And it would be hell if you're an NFL GM, because this is not a fun conversation to have, because so much. Well, first of all, your job depends on the decision that you make. Luckily, we're just sitting here pontificating.
Well, I mean, the reality is there are teams that are close, where it seems like the only thing they really need is a quarterback. I mean, could you, I hate to even joke, but I'm not really joking when I say it, but what about the Bears?
Yeah.
Like, you put Tom Brady on the Bears, all of a sudden, they've got a good running game, they've got some good wide receivers.
He's throwing to Alvin Robinson.
Obviously, the defense is really good. Now, the question is, can Matt Nagy actually coach?
And can he use Tom Brady the way that – I mean, he can't use Tom Brady the way that – that it's not conducive to his style of coaching.
Yeah,
he's
he would have to adjust his style to Tom Brady's style. But
and you'd be giving up on Mitch Trubisky, which I have no problem with. But then it's like, okay, what's the future?
If you win one Super Bowl, do you really care?
No, not at all.
Like if you told me today that the Jets would sign Tom Brady and they would win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, but it meant that Sam Darnold would fade away.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sam, I like you, but I don't know if you're ever going to win a Super Bowl.
It's one Super Bowl.
I'll take that one Super Bowl over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I would just, you know what, I would also like to listen, before we head off to break, just listen to us. I'm a Bears fan and a Jets fan.
How desperate are we?
No, but that's last night. You saw it. Patriots fans on social media. Got the crying fans in the stands. I can't believe it. Oh, fuck. You saw people burning Brady jerseys. I don't know if they were actually Pats fans or they were looking to go viral on social media. You always got to be wary, right, in the social media age. Why are people doing what they're doing? But you know there are Patriots fans out there that are just so distraught that they're not in the second round of the playoffs. You absolute bums. You have six championships. If you are this way, if you are a Patriots fan who's sad that you are not in the playoffs anymore, you are the reason that everyone hates you. Gonna be back here on the Mac Attack.
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to the Mac Attack.
Got a tweet out here from Dane Rooney. And also, just a reminder, we don't open up the phone lines a lot. We are going to be doing some giveaways this week, so we will be opening up the phone lines at least to allow you guys to call in and win some prizes. But, you know, we only have an hour a day, so I don't really take a lot of calls. It's nothing against you. We appreciate all our listeners. I love chatting with folks. If you guys have ever come out to any of our remotes or had a conversation with me, it's really hard to shut me up. So clearly I love chatting with you guys, but sometimes it just doesn't fit in the narrative of the show. A little hard to get to it. So tweeting me is always a good way for me to kind of, I'm in break and I'm checking stuff out. So we got Dane Ronnie here, said Kirk Cousins hater here, but Ryan, Cousins had the best weekend of all the QBs that played wild card weekend. What's the definition of a good QB? Winning playoff games? ? Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. Kirk Cousins did probably have the best weekend of quarterbacks. I mean, there was the dime to Thielen, 19 of 31 for 240 yards, and the Vikings beat the Saints on the road. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now, your definition of a good quarterback. No, the definition of a good quarterback is not winning playoff games. Joe Flacco, as we said, won a Super Bowl. Mark Rippon won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. The list goes on and on and on. Now, you put Kirk Cousins on the Bears and he wins him a Super Bowl, I don't care if he's 40 quarterback rating. Again, like Magnum said, get a Super Bowl, I don't care. And the Vikings probably feel the same way. But the definition of a good quarterback is a definition of a good quarterback, and the stats back that up. Unfortunately for Kirk Cousins, he doesn't have the stats. Now, again, would I rather have Kirk Cousins in the Super Bowl or Phillip Rivers in 4,400 yards every year? I'll take Kirk Cousins and the Super Bowl, thank you very much. So the point still stands. And you know, the book isn't written on Cousins. He's got Dalvin Cook. He's got Adam Thielen. He's got Diggs. He's got a really good football team. Kyle Rudolph still got a little bit of juice left, right? He could end up having a hell of a career for himself. He could end up having a really good, you know, 5, 6, 7 years with the Minnesota Vikings. That's entirely possible. I don't think it's going to happen because there's too much of a track record to say otherwise, but it's entirely possible. Speaking of track records that say otherwise, what are the Golden Globes doing allowing Ricky Gervais to keep hosting their show, Magnum?
Well, I feel like maybe, and the thing is, they know what he's going to say, I would imagine, before he actually says it.
He's just going to flame everybody.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't mind the approach. I feel like maybe what he said kind of needed to be said. Not so much for me.
What, when you say that, he said a lot. So what are you referencing?
Well, when he basically got up there and told everybody, look, this is an award show. Don't come up here. Nobody cares. You're not experts. You spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. Like, yeah. Honestly, he didn't say that for me. Because, first of all, I don't really watch award shows, nor do I don't care.
And I don't even know if we agree with him.
But the thing is, there are snowflakes out there. Usually they vote right.
Mm-hmm.
And they get all bent out of shape because none of these celebrities agree with the fact that with their lunacy.
Well, you know how sad must it be to feel that way and to be like, oh, these Hollywood elites.
Yeah, like, why do you get bent out of shape? You have absolutely, like I know people.
Could you imagine hating Robert De Niro, though? Like, I'm so glad I don't have to hate Robert De Niro, one of the greatest actors. Yeah. Really, and everyone who's has talent.
Yeah,
it's not like, Scott Baio.
Like I know people who have every Springsteen album up until like 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, screw him. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. The guy is an icon.
I remember going to see Roger Waters. Roger Waters, obviously Pink Floyd.
Oh, the last show here. Yeah, I was there as well.
I think June 2016, June 2017, yeah. Whatever. Yep. Well, June 2016. I remember people getting up and leaving.
Yeah, around us too.
Why is he gonna say stuff? It was obviously very anti-Trump. And I just remember thinking,
do you not know who you're going to see?
Yes. Do you not know? Have you never listened to a Pink Floyd record?
Yeah.
They've always been
political. Right, right, what do you think the wall is?
Oh my God. It's just so enjoyable. All these people flipping back around and again, as you said, snowflakes, and now I'm forced to not have to watch a Scott Baio movie ever again.
Yeah, because he's trash.
Right, right. But
I'm not forced to listen to Kid Rock because
Right.
Like imagine you only listen to musicians and only watch. So you're stuck with James Woods?
Yeah.
Who's okay, all right.
Yeah,
James
okay.
Wood's not bad.
I'm still going to watch movies that he's in because he's never.
Scott Baio, right? What are you going to watch? Reruns of Charles in Charge? Happy Days?
Oh.
Joni Loves Chachi? Right? Like that's your go-to?
That's the art you miss out on because of your political feelings.
It's like, you know what? I don't care. First of all, Kid Rock is trash. I don't
his
music.
No, terrible.
Ted Nugent
has
a few good songs.
I do want to apologize. I do want to apologize to everyone. I actually paid to see Kid Rock in the late 90s.
All right. Well, granted, it was.
And he was opening for Metallica.
Okay.
Still, my money went to help create.
This buffoon who shows up on stage wearing a flag as a poncho.
I really, really need Cofield's drop. We were making fun of Kid Rock during Festivus, and he did the bow with the ba ba da ba wa wa.
But like, here's the thing. Perfect example of the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So you have an issue with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee because that's quote unquote disrespectful to the troops, but you're perfectly okay with Kid Rock tearing a hole in a flag and wearing it around his body like a poncho.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So you go back to Ricky Gervais and kind of attacking the Hollywood elite. I mean, it was funny.
It was very funny.
It was funny. There were certain parts of that monologue that were great that I agreed with, and there were other parts, again, attacking the Hollywood elite and saying you don't know what the real world's like and you shouldn't speak and you should just keep your mouth shut. To an extent,
with telling them to keep their mouth shut.
No, but I'll give you an example. Adam Driver. Kylo Ren for Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson. He went to my rival high school. We're the exact same age, 35, 36 years old. He was on the swim team. He's from Mishawaka, Indiana. That dude knows what it's like. I've seen interviews with him. Yes, he came from the real world. A lot of these people came from the real world. It was a generalization by Ricky Gervais that I think somewhat missed the mark. But here's all I could help but thinking. All he was talking about, or all these people were talking about last night, were the brush fires in Australia that have killed over 500 million animals. Again, 500 million animals.
That's a lot.
The koala population estimated to have been reduced by 90%. 90% of the koalas on planet Earth are gone. Like, that is, it is horrible what is happening in Australia. This didn't happen in the 40s, didn't happen in the 50s, didn't happen in the 60s, didn't happen in the 70s, didn't happen in the 80s, didn't happen in the 90s. Every single metric and every single piece of science and every single fact says that this planet is warming at an increased rate because we have 7 billion freaking people on it that are burning gases and doing all sorts of things, eating styrofoam takeout straws. The list goes on and on and on. Captain Planet, dude. We were born in the 80s. Like, I don't know what to say. This isn't liberal brainwashing. There is tangible evidence that this place is burning and stuff is going really bad. It is going to be bad in here in the States. Look at California. Look at Washington. Look at Oregon. Look at Colorado. The Utah here in Nevada.
It's only going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse, right?
As we add more people and roll back emissions I always like laugh. Why, how does it hurt you in any way?
And that's my thing. Like, Gervais was railing on the Hollywood elite for giving their thoughts about world issues. I'm actually glad the Hollywood elites at least have these. Could you imagine a world where it would be the flip side? Could you imagine a world where Leo DiCaprio and Scarlett Johansson were, like, on Trump's side? And they were like, oh, yeah, no, science. Screw science.
Yeah.
Science doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter. Facts don't matter. Could you imagine if the Hollywood elite were like on the other side of the spectrum and they weren't fighting for the common people?
Like they were members of Spectre in the James Bond movies.
Yes, could you imagine that alternate reality? I get it's annoying. I get it's annoying when Michael Moore comes out and he's got his stupid face and his pink cheeks and his dumb glasses.
But you know what? Michael Moore predicted why Trump was going to win. He knew it. Yeah. He knew.
And it's not even a Trump thing because the inconvenient truth and Al Gore, that's really when global warming became a political issue.
Yeah.
When a politician like Al Gore came out and made a famous documentary about global warming and then it became a left-right issue instead of just a, hey, we're all going to die issue.
Yeah.
Right? And then the message got muddled and Hollywood got brought into it. And again, I get it. It's a little annoying when you have these rich people telling you about what you should or shouldn't be doing. But again, what's the alternative?
Well, that's what they revolt against.
Right.
And they hate the educated. They hate people who live better than them. They're so full of hate. And it's like, wouldn't you want to, like, my feeling is, wouldn't you want to take a chance that maybe, just maybe, science is right, and we're leaving the... Like, you don't have a child.
No.
I do.
Right, yeah, but I'm still...
I don't want my child to live on a worse planet than I'm living on.
Hell, I don't want 60-year-old me to live in a worse planet than I'm living on.
I mean,
screw your kids. I'm worried about myself.
I mean, I'll probably be dead by the time my kid is my age, but still, it's like, I don't want to leave... I don't want my 40-year-old Kingston...
Yeah.
Living in a world that's worse because we chose to ignore.
You speak about children, we talk about the Hollywood elites. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes things, well, they're problematic. Now, last night, this was not problematic. Tom Hanks, the beloved Tom Hanks, Splash, Big, Love Boat, as we saw last night.
Bosom Buddies.
But I mean, listen, yes. The man is an American film icon. Whether you like him, whether you
don't. Bachelor Party.
Bachelor, sure. Whether you like him, whether you don't, you have to acknowledge that he is an institution. And he was honored last night with the Cecil B. DeMille Award for a lifetime achievement. He acknowledged his directors and his friends that helped got him to this point. It was a really nice speech. He's a nice guy. Everyone loves Tom Hanks. Even if you don't, you love him. You just don't want to admit it. And then he acknowledged his family sitting around the table. He acknowledged that, you know, for the last 30 years, I've taken all these movies and they showed the montage of movies. I've been away from you. You guys have allowed me to sacrifice. And it was a really moving, speech. And it was nice to see him acknowledge his family. Although he said he was so proud of his sons and daughters and everything that they've done, and they're better humans than him. Well, Tom Hanks has a son named Chet. And Chet, I know nothing about Chet. I know nothing about Chet. I had to do some research because on the red carpet last night, Chet Hanks decided that he was Jamaican. I don't know what this is, Magnum. I don't know what this is. I just want you to hear, guys. We got audio here. This is Chet Hanks last night at the Golden Globes joining his father in his Lifetime Achievement Award. And I don't know what he's doing. This is him on the red carpet. I don't know if he has joined a sect of Caribbean outlaws. I don't know if he is trying to develop a career in reggae. I don't know if he's having an identity crisis or hell. I mean, maybe this is a product of being a rich elite. This is Chet Hanks.
Oh my God. Big up, big Big up the whole island massive. It's your boy Chetana coming straight from the Golden Gloves, you know what I'm saying? My father Tom Hanks presenting in a while soon forward come. Big up, tune in.
I feel, does it lose its effect that they can't see how white he is?
Oh, he is as pasty white as they come.
I mean, you hear that. That's not Lennox Lewis, you know, and the Talib Kweli and DJ High Tech Reflection Eternal
it's
album.
It's not even Sean DePaul.
Nope. Called himself Chetana. It's Chetana here.
Coming to you straight from the Golden Globes.
Wow.
What?
Now, this is where we need to rail on the Hollywood elite.
Yeah, where's Ricky Gervais to say, don't pretend to be Jamaican?
No, don't even that. Get your kids in order, Tom Hanks. This is an embarrassment.
Now, one of his kids, Colin, has some talent. He's a good actor.
Orange County's a damn fine movie.
This guy, Chet, probably a reason why none of us knew you existed until last night.
Because Tom Hanks was hiding you.
Yes. It's exactly.
What a nice person Tom Hanks is to come out and to say he's proud of his entire family and they're great people.
Knowing that this is one of his offspring.
That he has a Jamaican-speaking 30-something-year-old son who is clearly not doing anything with his life.
Can I trade places with that guy?
Can I be that guy? We're all going to be lobbying to kill Chet Hanks.
I want
to
be Chet.
I honestly don't know if Tom would even notice.
No. I mean, all you're going to do is slap on the Caribbean accent.
Dad, what's up with the puppy, Dad? It's a Tom of the Hanks. Good morning, Dad. That was nuts.
I got the Blue Mountain coffee.
I wanted to talk more about the NFL playoffs, but there was no way I was coming in here on this Monday and not talking about Chet Hanks. I actually did a little bit of research. Apparently, he tried to be a rapper a few years ago.
Oh, no.
Surprisingly, shockingly, it didn't work out.
Yeah, big shock there.
I guess now, I mean, there is a resurgence. I saw Fortunate Youth about a month ago. They're a great reggae band. Reggae's making a comeback, man. Yeah. Maybe this is his new.
I am a big reggae fan. I'm actually going to go see Steel Pulse in a couple of weeks at Brooklyn Bowl.
Nice. So, you're going to go, you going to encourage Chet Hanks on his blossoming?
You know what? I should tweet at Chet. I'm sure he has a Twitter handle with like 13 followers.
Rasta Hanks?
Yes. Irie Mon. It's a Chet the Hanks.
Ask Irie Hanks. All right, listen, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I don't know what we're going to get to, but you'll find out when we come back. This is the Mac Attack.
Here come the drums. All right,
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
Now, I don't want to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights because we're coming off two games of the year, but we're not going to get to that. I want to talk about Josh Allen. I don't know what that was, but we're not going to have time. But I do want to talk about Jason Garrett finally gone in Dallas. And you know what got me thinking, Magnum? Got me thinking. Have I been too hard on Jerry Jones? No, I'm serious.
No.
No, I mean, let's think about this. I was talking about the celebrities at the Golden Globes. Wouldn't you rather have them speaking out for important issues than not?
We did have the Jerry Jones missed his Metamucil.
Well, right. I know, I get that. But my point is Jerry Jones being loyal. I mean, this is like, he's a rootin' tootin' Texas oil. Pew, 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 pew. Right? I know, I get that. That's Jerry. But for the last, I mean, you can say 5 years, I don't know the actual timeline you want to put on this, but for the last 2-3 weeks, he has been agonizing over this decision to fire Jason Garrett. And I'm not kidding. It got me thinking. You know, I was like, you know what? In a world of billionaire elites where they will cut your knees out from you in a second, you will get your pink slip on Christmas Eve. Sorry about your insurance. Retirement? What's that?
Yes.
You got Jerry Jones out here taking too long to fire someone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
He's not the hero we knew we needed, but he's
the hero we got.
Yep.
Now, damn it. Again, this is a billionaire, pew, pew, yeah, Texas guy, right? A billionaire in Texas who has a heart.
I think you got to do the entire show like that guy tomorrow.
Yosemite Sam meets.
It's the opening round. I said, you're a varmint.
I said, welcome into the Mac Attack here on a Tuesday.
Can't forget the varmint.
Varmint. No, I'm serious, man. Good for you, Jerry Jones. Good for you for still having a heart with $2 billion or whatever you're worth. I can't say I would be the same. I'd be a cold, 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 cold man. All right. Well, whatever we didn't get to today, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. Either way, We'll see you 24 hours, friends. This is Mac Attack. Now I need the money just to say that I'm rich.